reverb. All right, 1, 2, 3. Hello and welcome to another episode of FPL 360. I am the latest edition of World Cup in 20. Chuck and I will be talking about Group C. Before we get started, you want to give folks a little rundown about how this is going to work?
So in World Cup in 20, we'll be talking about whatever group or World Cup topic that we have for the day over a beer, which leads to the question of, Sean, what are you drinking tonight?
I am currently enjoying a Whale's Tail Pale Ale, which is an IPA from Cisco Brewery in Nantucket. Chuck, what are you enjoying?
I am drinking a Duckpin Pale Ale, a Baltimore original from Union Craft Brewing.
What is that? Like an IPA? It's like a, how would you classify that IPA?
It's hoppy but refreshing.
Okay. Well, speaking of refreshing, France do not have Anthony Martial, which is kind of upsetting for me, but they do have a bunch of young talent. It's the first team we're going to talk about in Group C. What is the biggest key for them in the World Cup?
The biggest key for them is Didier Deschamps not getting in the way of his players.
Yeah, France come in. They have arguably one of the deepest attacking compositions of players in the entire tournament. They have speed. They have pretty much everything you want. I guess the real question is, how do you think they're going to line up?
I think it's going to be a mixture between a 4-3-3 and a hybrid 4-4-2. And it's all dependent on what personnel they're deciding to put out on the day and how and if they're going to need to actually defend, which means in the group stage, it's probably going to be more of a standard 4-3-3 most days.
Yeah, I mean, they have Griezmann, they have Mbappe, they have Thomas Lemar. They don't have Dimitri Payet, but they do have Ousmane Dembele. You know, out of those guys, I guess we're assuming Griezmann's going to play through the middle. Do you think Mbappe plays on the right, or do you think he plays on the left, and they maybe play one of the guys who's a natural right winger on that side? How do you think they're going to compose that front three?
Depends on the formation. If it's a 4-3-3, it'll probably be Mbappe on the right and Lamar on the left. But if it's a 4-4-2, it'll likely be Mbappe alongside Griezmann and then Ousmane Dembele coming out on the wing there.
You know, working our way down the team sheet, obviously you have midfield anchor N'Golo Kanté. There are some questions about Paul Pogba. Do you think he's going to be in the starting 11 when they kick off their World Cup campaign against Australia? Or do you think he might have to settle for a place on the bench?
Paul Pogba is there. Therefore, he shall be in the starting 11 unless he legitimately can't walk.
Looking at their defenders, obviously you have two standouts in Raphael Varane and Samuel Umtiti in the middle of defense. You have Hugo Lloris in goal. You know, we saw Benjamin Mendy in the beginning of the Premier League season, and he looked like quite the talent. Out of those defenders, which one do you think is going to be the most important for France?
So, the most important is going to be Varane, due to the fact that he's kind of keeping things set and protecting Hugo from having a howler. The most impactful is probably going to be Benjamin Mendy, because on his day, there aren't many fullbacks that can go both ways like him.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. He showed us in those few games that he was fit that he is a hell of a player, and he's going to be, you know, the iconic fullback for Man City for a couple years moving down the line. Looking at the rest of the team, there's a lot of talented guys who are going to be fighting for minutes. Which one are you most excited about who might not be in the starting 11?
It's Fekir, and it's not even close. Sorry, let me say that. Future Liverpool player, Fekir.
Yeah, I was going to say, the heir apparent to the void left by Phil Coutinho, there's going to be a lot riding on him. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a couple starts. Another guy who's kind of captured my attention, obviously he's a veteran. You know, I think Matuidi is going to be really crucial. He might be in the starting 11, depending upon the formational composition. But either way, France are definitely the team to watch. Do you think they're going to be top dogs in this group?
Oh, yeah. It's not even going to be close.
The team that's going to be pushing them for the first spot advancing out of the group stage is Denmark. And, Chuck, I will let you start talking about that guy who plays for Tottenham, who's pretty good.
Yeah, that guy would be called Christian Eriksen, and he is very good coming off of a season which he had 10 goals and 10 assists in the Premier League. But this should not let you overlook the fact that this Denmark squad is much more than just him.
Yeah, Denmark are going to be without Lord Nicholas Bentner, who got hurt towards the end of his domestic campaign. So they need a new guy to spearhead their attack. There's a couple guys on the team sheet that are of interest. Nikolai Jorgensen, Andres Cornelius, they're both big strikers. Yusuf Poulsen, who's a bit more pacey. Honestly, you have Piani Sisto, Victor Fischer. Which guy out of those group you think is going to be the number one attacking threat for Christian Eriksen to pick up?
In most games, I think it'll be Yusuf Poulsen until they need to go big to just overpower Peru, and then that's when you'll see Cornelius probably deputize up top.
Yeah, for people who aren't familiar with Poulsen, do you want give him like a little brief, you know, Poulsen in 20, 30 seconds, just, you know, so everyone can kind of see what he's going to bring to the table?
I mean, if you've seen Timo Werner, think about a Timo Werner light, because he's fast, he's sort of strong, he's just not clinical.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think also Sisto is going to be someone to look at. He's going to be playing on the wing. He looked really good in La Liga. He's pacey. He's got a trick up his sleeve. Outside of the attack, obviously the midfield's dominated by Eriksen, but there are a bunch of big names at the back. With a defense anchored by goalkeeper Kasper Schmeichel. Out of the back line, there's a bunch of names we've heard before. You know, which center back do you think is going to be most key? You have Andreas Christensen in the mix, Vestergaard, you have Simon Gjaer. Like, which one do you like the most?
I mean, I think Vestergaard's going to be the most important just because he's the veteran coming into things. And his communication with Schmeichel is going to be key for setting up everyone else.
Yeah, so it's ironic. We've talked about France first, and we both have them going through number one in this group, and we're talking about Denmark second. Do you think they're going to be the second team to get out of here?
I do. And I think they're going to make some noise post this group, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not going to go into that because we're going to save that for a later episode when we talk about looking past the group stage. But I like how you tease that. The third team in this group might be the most controversial in the World Cup. Peru return for the first time since 1982. They got through South American qualification. Southern American qualification. They entered the tournament 11th in the world. They entered the tournament with their forward who was suspended for doing cocaine, who will be playing. Peru's a lot. It's a mouthful. I guess we'll start with, do you think their ranking 11th in the world is inflated, or there's some truth behind that?
I think it's definitely inflated, and I think the rankings for most Common Bowl teams are also inflated due to the fact that they just kind of don't play anyone in hostile territory outside of the teams in South America.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I've always struggled with looking at them is, like, I mean, they did have a couple good results during qualifying. They did draw at Argentina. But you also have to take into account that Argentina barely got through qualification, and they were a weaker side when that result happened. But we got to talk about Guerrero now. I mean, he was going to be suspended, and they were looking at potentially finishing bottom of the group without him because he's their leading scorer, and he's also, you know, their talismanic leader. How big or how vital is him being eligible for the World Cup for this nation?
Oh, extremely vital, because without him, they don't have any shot of making it out of this group. Whereas with him, there is at least a slight possibility that they might be able to nick something off of Denmark. I still don't think it's going to happen, but it would be funny for it to, considering that the captains of every team in this group all help join in getting him into this World
Cup. Would you say Guerrero is more vital to Peru than Eriksen is to Denmark?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that we're kind of harping on is a team without their captain and without their leader that doesn't have a ton of World Cup experience, honestly, that doesn't have any World Cup experience, that it's really just put the wind back in their sails. They do have some other interesting players, specifically the guys who will comprise the attack behind Guerrero and Andre Carrillo, who is on loan at Watford this season, and Jefferson Farfán. You know, those names are known. Is there anyone, you know, who's going to the World Cup with Peru that people might not have heard of that's worth mentioning right now?
The Swiss Army knife, Yoshi Yotun of Orlando City. Because he can play almost any position for them. And his claim to fame is being the most expensive defender ever in MLS fantasy.
Yeah, so where do you think he's going to play for Peru? Because I know I've seen him listed as a defender in MLS. When I looked him up earlier, he was listed as a central midfielder. Where do you see him fitting in for the starting 11?
As their number 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a hell of a jackknife there. Looking at Peru's, you know, outlook, are they third? Are they fourth in this group? Can they nick Denmark? Where do we see them finishing?
I see them finishing third with a chance to nick Denmark if Guerrero gets hot enough.
Do you think, how many goals do you think Guerrero is going to score in the group stage?
That's where it gets tough, because I think he's going to get a hat trick just against Australia.
No love for the Aussies.
So I'm going to say four.
Okay, well, I don't think he's going to score four against Australia. I do have a disposition. I am not Australian, but I do have faith in them. Unlike the overwhelming majority of the rest of the world, the Aussies come in led by coach Bert van Marwijk, who led the Dutch to the infamous World Cup final in 2010. Chuck, am I insane for thinking that Australia shouldn't be written off yet?
You know that you're insane, but my roommate has also walked in right now, and let's see what he thinks about if Australia can make it out of this group.
Yeah, mate, we're going to make it out of the group. I think it's wicked cool. We're gonna make it out of the group like a baby kangaroo makes it out of the mama's pouch.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say, but I'm very excited. Go World Cup. Love the podcast. First time, long time.
That's awesome. We just had our first live guest on FPL 360. But he isn't totally wrong. If Australia are going to manage to sneak out of the group, they're going to need some serious pop from their midfielders in Aaron Moy, Massimo Longo, and Emil Jednak. They also do have a hell of a gem in Trent Sansbury at the back. Since most people haven't heard from any of those, heard of those players, I guess, do you want to talk a little bit about Aaron Moy and the kind of player he is?
I mean, he's your quintessential box-to-box midfielder. He's gonna truck through everything. The question is he gonna be creative enough for Australia to get them through this? Because Huddersfield, like, had to bring in help for him with an actual number 10, because that is not his natural position. Australia doesn't have one.
Yeah, I mean, they have a guy who's gonna try and do it in Tom Rogic, who plays for Celtic. He's not, I mean, I don't think he's of the caliber that they need. I mean, I guess the biggest thing for me and the reason why I have kind of looked at them as a sleeper is because they have a very pragmatic head coach. He's not going to beat around the bush. He knows what they do to win each game, which is essentially pack it in, hope to take a point off France, use the fact that they can knock the ball to counteract Denmark ramming down their throats, and then use their size against Peru. So this is kind of a, if A scenario, B scenario, C scenario happens, I could see Australia escaping from here.
Yeah, as soon as you add that many scenarios, It's probably not happening.
Yeah, I mean, look, they got out of the group stage in 2010 when no one expected it when they advanced over Croatia. So I just wouldn't count them out because I think that they are – I think that they know what they're good at enough to potentially make some noise. And by noise, I mean get more than the – get higher than the 1.5 points, which is their over for the group stage. But having spoken – you know, way too much and way too intensely about Australia, I think we should do some, you know, just a brief overview of who we think is going to be the best players from Group C. So, Chuck, who's going to be, who do you think is going to be the top player through the group stage for this group?
I think the top player is probably going to be Guerrero.
Ooh, okay. And I mean, you're saying he's going to, so you think he's going to be the top scorer too with 4 goals?
I don't think he's going to be the top scorer. But I do think he'll be the top player just because he will probably also get an assist too.
Yeah, the guy I'm going with, and it's by no means going to be a surprise, I think it's Christian Eriksen. He pretty much embodies what it means to be an advanced playmaker right now in modern soccer. He does everything, ball control, chance creation, shooting. You know, he doesn't really do a ton of defensive work, but that's okay because he's so good at going forward. He's the guy I'm looking at to be the top performer. You know, and segueing back, who do you think is going to be the top scorer?
For top scorer, I'm probably going to join you on the Mbappe train.
Yep, I just picked Mbappe in the second round of our expert draft. I think that he just, like, he's just going to, like, France are just too much. They have so much attacking power, and I don't know how deep they're going to go in the World Cup. I don't know if they have enough experience to get the whole thing, but I do think they're going to have a ton of goals in them. Before we wrap up the group, let's do a couple specific predictions. We used to do specific predictions when we started this podcast in the middle of the Premier League season, and then we accidentally got away from it. But I think it's something that we should bring back. So let's go with like one general one and one very specific prediction for this group.
Okay. I guess my general one is going to be that Victor Fischer, not Christian Eriksen, is going to be the most impactful player for Denmark in this group.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'm going to go with my generalized one. I think Christian Eriksen is going to have at least 4 assists during the group stage.
Look at us just rolling back and forth through Denmark, because they're also getting my super specific prediction, which is that Kasper Schmeichel's going to make double-digit saves in a draw against France.
Okay. I mean, look, he's a keeper who's proven it at the domestic stage. You know, there's success in the international stage in his blood with his father, Peter. But I'm going to drop probably the biggest bombshell you will hear, and I'm going to say if Peru and Denmark draw in the opening match, Australia are going to advance from this group.
I see you've backed off on this one now.
Yeah.
Because first it was Australia was going to advance.
No, but having recorded this podcast once and then twice and not being able to get it up from audio difficulties, I've had a chance to cool off. So I'm going to use a qualifying statement before saying they're going to advance. All right, though, before we go over the 20-minute mark, you know, look forward to our Group D preview, which will come out. And, Chuck, I think we might have actually got this under 20 minutes.
We did. With this, we'll actually be World Cup in under 20, not just World Cup in 20. But we need to stop this before we hit 20.